Already give till it hurts, and we're after new people to join us in our adventures here as we launch the King's Door Inn, located here in Eastern Tennessee. Now, we'll give you the place when we get the addresses, and we'll start telling you when the festivals are held, or when we have special meetings. Now we can have special meetings. You could come and spend the whole week camping out, as long as the weather would permit, on the land and live cheap. Bring your own cooking utensils, like the ancients used to do. We plan on doing this in Tabernacle, is to have a place. If you've got a little travel trailer, you can bring that and park it on the property and live there for a week, and we can rejoice together. So this is going to save money for the participants of the fellowship, that most of the time we've had brothers and sisters to drive, for instance, out of the North Country, way up in the North Country, several hundred miles to be exact. And then they would have to get a cabin, and in the Smoky Mountain regions here, the cabins are not cheap. So they would spend $1,000 for the week or more to accommodate their needs and the place to stay. Here, the festival site, which will be designed, we've got our electrical engineers, we've got building contractors, we've got water equipment, heavy equipment operators, trained and ready to go, ready to give their services. See, that's part of tithing and offering. Tithing and offering is two different things. Tithing and offerings and supplemental. The Bible talked about the apostolic fathers. They would supplement with prayers and supplication. Now, what does that mean? Supplication means you add something to those prayers. And in this case, it was fasting and praying so that they could let their prayers be encouraged, or, if you will, like a rocket, a booster. It was like an overdrive on a vehicle. A fasting supplication. And the set-apart ones are just like that. There are some people that put Yahweh first. And some people that can't see their way clear to do that. Now, whatever you can give. Now, notice this scripture, and it really gives a level of faith. Not everybody can do what somebody else can do. We try to highlight, and the Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. We know that entire pages of the Bible was written to men who gave alms. For instance, last night I mentioned Cornelius in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. He was a man that gave the things to Yahweh's kingdom. In this case, it was buildings or feed sites, basically. And he was remembered for that. He reaped bountiful benefits. And here's what he reaped out of having a great love of putting Yahweh first. He got the keys to the kingdom brought directly to him by the key man, Peter, the apostle, himself. Now, was Peter a set-apart person? Well, let me show you how set-apart he was. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give unto you, basically was his testament, or his testimony. I don't have no silver and don't have no gold. But did you know the Bible says on the day of Pentecost that all of the people that joined themselves to the apostolic teaching, they brought their possessions, sold them, and brought the offerings and laid them specifically. Now, this is a selection process. There was people in the apostolic church at Jerusalem who were worthy of receiving these tithes and offerings. As every man is able, according to the blessings of Yahweh, which he hath given thee. And in Deuteronomy 16:17, as Yahweh hath blessed you, you should always give your offering. Now, that's in Deuteronomy. That every man, as he is able. They were certain men that had plenty to give. They were certain people that didn't have but a little to give. But the issue here was not how much you had to give, but give. You should always give your offering. That's what it says. Then when he gave the apostles, this is prior to the day of Pentecost now, he's setting them up and training them. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Matthew 10 and 8. Give freely with a pure heart. And upon the first day of the week, the apostolic fathers, Paul, and his teaching, told us to set aside a certain offering or a gift to Yahweh. Now, this is how Yahweh promised to bless you. So there's consequences for paying your tithes and giving your offerings and supporting Yahweh above and beyond the call of duty. And there are consequences for not doing it. We're going to cover both tonight to show you that Yahweh has no respect for persons. I mean, he had more respect for a woman that gave 3 cents and equal value of today's coin. That's to say, compared to somebody that gave $50,000 in gold or silver. And we just had that to happen. Which one If a man had $100,000 worth of gold and gave 50 of it, he would give half. If a man had 3 cents and gave it all, which one gave the most? Well, you would, most people, the preacher say, well, a guy that gave me $50,000 worth of gold. That ain't how Christ said. He said, this woman gave everything she had, therefore she's given more than everybody, because that day he was watching the offering box, and here he is with his eyes on it. Yahweh does behold what you give. And the Bible said, if you give sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Now, we've had people that's made promises to this group, and this group can confirm it. We've got brothers and sisters, and we've got elders that could confirm what I'm saying. That some that have broke their vows, I mean, it was tragic to see what happened to them. Not that we wished any ill will on them. It takes a lot of faith to even promise. But you better have the faith to deliver an offering if you vow it. Now, if you don't vow it, you're not bound by it. But if you vow it and give it to Yahweh, now notice it. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as Yahweh has prospered you. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Give on the ratio as Yahweh has given to you. You say, well, Yahweh ain't giving me nothing, so therefore I don't know anything. Well, let's take a guy that's got $50,000 and a guy that's got 50 cents. What would you owe in relationship to the $50,000? Well, there is a scale and a chart, and we'll show you in just a minute. Jacob gave 10%. He said, as long as I live, I shall give 10%. Now, we've got a lot of our brothers and sisters, they give 10 plus. And that's well and good. If I didn't have those offerings each month, I couldn't pay Dave at the radio station. And our bill runs way over $1,000 a month. So we got to come up with that money. And that money comes strictly from tithers that tithe to me. And that goes in on the radio bill to tell you about the things that we're teaching you according to his purpose. Now listen to this now. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. Oh, well, I've got to because Buddy keeps preaching on. I very seldom preach on offerings. And you people that really know Buddy know that I'm not about offerings. I very seldom preach on it in the festival. We've already got a good group of people that know to give. They're well trained and well versed. They know the rules and the regulation that every man is he's able, according to the blessings of Yahweh, which Yahweh hath given him, let him give, not grudgingly, and of necessity, for Yahweh loves, listen to that, Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. Now, we've got people say, well, I give, but I give it grudgingly. I don't want to. They're using it for other purposes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, right now, whatever you have given, we have spent and promised today over $150,000 just to get the property. And we need more, like we need a building on it to gather in. Right now we're going to have to use a tent. We've done got the tent bought. We need a tractor to clean the property. So somebody out there that's got a tractor, and we'll take anything you can chase, drag, or pull on the parking lot here at the King's Gate Inn. We need you. We want you to be a part of it. If you've got a water heater, if you've got some commodes and toilets, we need to build some sanitation facilities. We need to lay a water line. If you've got water pipe that will be approved to this frost region of East Tennessee, or if you could donate and you could go and say, Pastor Buddy, I'm going to write you a check tonight for the 2,000 feet of water line. That's basically about what we're going to need, 2,000 feet, to set up campsites. And the brothers that's going to be coming in and doing this, they're going to donate their time. And some of the sisters will donate their time to cook for them or to wash their clothes. We need a set of washer and dryers to build a little wash house where the people at camp in the community can have. And now we're not building this community to park here and camp and take advantage of rent-free. That's not what it's all about. If you want to come and give and contribute, we're not trying to design your place to live. This is Yahweh's place, and you'll always be welcome 3 times a year. But you're not going to be welcome after that. To stay and park and sponge or whatever these people would like to do. And we're going to get into that segment of it here in part two. Every man as he is purposed. Now, what is your purpose? Purpose in your heart to help us. I could give you a list of things associated with, if somebody has some experience in doing some of the plumbing or some of the bricklaying or the blocklaying. If you'd like to donate your time, you know, I wish we could pay you for your labor. But this is donating to Yahweh. Maybe on a new moon, this is charity work for the assembly, like they did in the days of old. They took the day off and worked for Yahweh, and since it was a 3-day Sabbath, they would keep the new moon dedicated and work for Yahweh because it was not for serve our wages. It was donating charity work. And the Bible says, let him not give grudgingly or of necessity. Some people say, well, I'm going to give because I have to. That's the rules. But I don't want to. If you don't want to, please don't come to Kingsgate Inn and give anything. Well, I mean, we've struggled and got by for over 70 years without you, and I'm sure we can do without you from here on in. That's not the case. But if you're willing to be cheerful, to give it not grudgingly, to give it to be recognized. Now, the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. We're going to show you where they honored people that give. I just gave you an example where Cornelius was mentioned in a whole chapter. Matter of fact, a whole 2 chapters talked about in 10 and 11. And he was given a whole chapter in the Bible to what he had done. The Bible said he was a very a generous and righteous man, and his alms, what he had given, was the key to his salvation. I really don't know whether you believe that or not. But the people that we dealt with today, the owners of the property, we talked with them, and they were wonderful people. But one of the brothers in the group, after we had concluded our business and everything went well, and there was a lot of respect on both sides in negotiating the contract. You know, you have to write certain things in and write certain things out. Some people demand other things, and some people don't. So we got on the same page and signed a contract and put down $61,000. Now, we're believing Yahweh for the other funds that will come about by a sacrifice for people who have met that set-apart spirit and will no longer in his heart rob Yahweh. Now, listen to this one. This is in the book of Malachi. Will a man rob Yahweh? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. In other words, if you're going to put it in your 401k, are you going to use it for other purposes rather than tithing on it and offering on it, and being grudgingly or of necessity, if you don't get it with a spirit of love and joy, knowing that you share in the dream of, David said, it's in my heart. I can't get it out. I don't feel right of sleeping in a nice home, a home of cedar, and Yahweh is living in a tent downtown. And so he set about of getting the architect to draw up the building, He had the stone donated to the assembly off-site now. It was all cut and mined off-site, donated. Not one thing was paid for, even the people in the surrounding, like Hiram, up in Lebanon. Did you know that he cut down cedar trees, that like the giant cedars of Lebanon? This holy wood, and cedar is one of the most preserved woods. It will stay there for almost every. You can set it out in the weather and stick it in the ground, a fence post, and it'll stay there for over 150 years before you can even tell it's been in the ground, almost. So these brethren that lived up in Lebanon, the king, he donated enough timber out of the cedars, out of the goodness of his heart, not grudgingly. He didn't give sparingly. He gave abundantly, and the people set by in the same town or the same country of Israel, and they robbed Yahweh while other people were trying to supply the need. Now, if you're one of those that just sits back and want to enjoy the fruits of it, well, I'm not going to give, but, you know, when it comes to festival, I'll come down sharing, and I'll let's see what you're doing here, and if I approve of it. That ain't what it says. It says, commit yourself to Yahweh and delight in Him. Be happy. Don't start being grudgingly or sparingly. Give a offering and a tithe to Yahweh according to Deuteronomy 16 and 17. Will a man rob Yahweh? And yet you've robbed me. And then you say, well, where have I robbed you? Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever supported any church work in your life? And you say, well, yeah. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever supported any people that is building a temple that obeys the apostolic teaching and the teaching of Moses, the teaching of Yahshua, the little general that came into the land and built temples and built altars and built them biblically and come together in fellowship and preach divine covenant principles of a set-apart people through repentance and baptism in the name of Yahweh? Now, I'll ask you a question. Do you know of any group in the country? If you do, please call me up tonight. Here, we'll give you the telephone number. Call me up and tell me where they're at. Instead of us enduring what we're doing, and they match the criteria of the Bible, we'll come and join them, and we will be supporters. We will not give sparingly. You know, I'm giving all I've got. I've always tried to give my life, and of course I'm a set apart one, and I'm obligated to do this. Woe to me if I don't do it. But I know that people that have to work cannot make the same commitment that I do in regards to being a full-time worker for Yahweh. Now, how is it that I'm not a full-time worker, and yet I'm a full-time worker for Yahweh? Aren't listening to this thing. You have so much, and you brought in a little. Now, have you ever seen your crops fail? Have you ever seen your job diminish here in the presence of the United States of America? You know what's wrong? People are robbing Yahweh. Now, we've got more churches in the land than we've ever had since the history of the United States. You don't believe it? Come to a little poor county here in Polk County, Tennessee, where we're sitting tonight. And tomorrow morning, I'll take you on a little drive, less than 25 miles. And I guarantee you, I can count you 30 churches in 25 miles that have been built here within 25 miles, 25 churches. Guarantee you, I can show you in this poor country. So that's enough churches, 1 mile a church. And ain't enough people down here probably to fill 5 of them, let alone to fill 25. And the reason is because they're not set apart, they've not come together, They've not studied the scriptures. You're not welcome there. If you come to bring anything that's alien, like the name of Yahweh, I'm not loved because I'm a Yahweh preacher. I have people right now that attend our assembly that don't love me because I'm so adamant and steadfast in the name of Yahweh. But I got news for you people that don't love me in the name of Yahweh. I will never preach any other name under heaven among men. Because 6,823 times in the original word of Scripture, I've just learned this in the last 25 years. I didn't know this coming in. I wish I had. I became a set-apart person when I found this out. I knew what Yahweh demanded of me. And woe is me if I fail to preach the gospel. It would be better for me to not go and preach it to the brothers and sisters that need it preached to. The question is, how much do people, like the brother made a comment at the dinner table tonight, if they would have only known the people that we bought the property from, what we represent and what name we represent, if they'd only inquire, if they'd only ask what our purpose was for the property, as opposed to what their proper purposes was to sell it, we know what their purpose was. They told us. We didn't tell them our purposes because there's such a animosity or a prejudice against the name of Yahweh of Deuteronomy 28:10 when they say, I see that you're wanting this for Yahweh. Well, we don't believe in that name. We're Jesus worshipers. You go to 25 of these churches I told you within 25 miles, and I guarantee you, I have counted them. Me and a brother got out one Sunday down here, and we rode around, and we were amazed at how many churches back in these hills here. You won't believe where we're at. If you think it's remote where you're at, come over here to Polk County, Tennessee, right in the heart of the National Forest, the Cherokee night where the Cherokees roamed on these rivers and in these hills and in these mountains. The country is full of churches with a steeple on it, which I preach against. I don't believe in going into a church that's got a male fowl sticking up on the top of it to represent the bunny rabbit and a false name. You say, well, you see, that's your opinion. Let me give you a verse of scripture here. Behold, Yahweh hath given a command concerning you. Your name shall be perpetuated no longer. Out of the house of your gods, I will cut off the carved image and the molded images of your imagination. I will dig your grave, for you are vile. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's Yahweh speaking. That ain't Pastor Buddy. You better make your election and calling sure. You better make sure that you're in the right name and you're not sitting straddle the fence and one side of your being wants to serve Yahweh and the other side wants to stay with the tradition and the things that you were brought up in. You've got to completely denounce this image worship, bunny rabbit, Easter bunnies, Christmas, Valentine's Day, or whatever thing that they teach in your church, and come to a church that will tell you things that will astound you, that will make people afraid of you. They shall see that you are called by the name of Yahweh. You build worship altars in a designed covenant way of biblical application. You'll no longer, once you learn the truth, you'll no longer go back to a bell box and get on their altar and shout Jesus. If you do, you're a hypocrite. If you do, you're robbing Yahweh of His glory. If He's a Father, where are you going to give Him glory? Where are you going to draw the line? You either have to be all the way in Yahweh or all the way out of Yahweh. You can't be hot one day, cold the next day. You can't have Yahweh today and Jesus tomorrow. You're going to have to choose this day who you will serve. Now listen to this. All the tithe that you bring in It says you bring in little, you eat, but you don't have enough, you drink, but you're not filled with drink, you clothe, but you're not warm, and he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. Now, what does that mean, put in a bag? Well, that's bank. You're expecting to bank it and expect the liars that run the banks and the thieves to have it there for you when you get ready to draw it out. Did you know that people today have lost more than 40% of their 401k? Ask somebody in Michigan. That's a perfect example. These auto workers in the state of Michigan, it made America great. We filled the whole earth with automobiles, made strictly in Michigan. Now China is about to surpass us with manufactured exported goods. They are getting so close to overcoming us simply because those same people that worked you for 40 years took the same saving that you had, tore down the infrastructure of Michigan. If you don't believe it, I'll take you on a journey or have some of the brethren that live in Michigan to show you that their 401k has lost at least 40% of its value, men and women both, that have worked hard. That's the scripture of the book of Malachi, chapter 3, where it says, you've got a bag with your wages and holes in it. Now, the holes are the system designed to let those who have your money in trust slip it out and invest it in foreign countries, China, India, Bangladesh, Korea, wherever, of any place except America. You know what America's all about now? Getting on welfare. There's more people on welfare. You know why? Because they said you eat, but you don't have enough. Did you know America's got the greatest weight problem in the world? That we are the leading nation. And you know why? Because we get free food. You go through these Walmarts, and all, these groceries come from? Have you ever thought about it? It's grown out of some poor country in the near or the far east on the hillside where they use human excrement to throw out on the land to give it fertilizer. They don't buy a commercial, but they use human waste. They feed their fish human waste and pack it up and freeze it in little packets that look real good, and they send it into the freezers of Walmart and these other places that buy these products and send it into America and feed it to you, radiated 100 times. And no wonder we got salmonella in America in the eggs, because if you look at the chickens and the way that they inhumanely treat them, where the chicken never, their feet never touch the ground to pick out insects and things that they were designing, worms and bugs out in the nature to produce you an egg that's got quality results of protein. Now, when they get the eggs, now they're fixing to radiate the eggs and to pasteurize them to avoid this salmonella. And you know where the salmonella is coming from? Filth of those who have, concerning the tithes of Yahweh, these people don't give nothing to Yahweh. These people don't love Yahweh. These people don't belong to Yahweh. You are a chosen and a holy people, a purpose people, that have the love of Yahweh in your heart, and you are the blushing bride of Israel. And if you don't return to Him in the time of need, I was hungry and you wouldn't clothe me. I was sick and you wouldn't visit to me. I needed your tithes and offerings, but you kept them for Wally World. You had to have this special pleasure deal. The Bible said, the scripture said, that Moses, who could have been a prince and a king at Pharaoh's table, even taking over the rulership, because he was a prince, because he was gifted, He forsook the pleasures of Egypt. He could have had a royal court to rub his back and massage him. He could have a harem of women at his disposal. And he went out in the backside of a desert and stayed there for 40 years and trained herding cattle and sheep and camels and endured the hardness of learning how to be a man that provides. And Yahweh said, walk upright before me. And Jacob said, Yahweh, as long as I am on this earth, I'll give you 10% to support your name. Now, we're the sons of Jacob, are we not? And all the tithe of the land, whether it be seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, that is Yahweh. It is holy to Yahweh. If a man will at all redeem aught of his tithe, he shall add thereof the fifth part thereof. Says you should pay 5% interest on late payments of your tithe. And if you can't deliver it, you've got to add a fifth to it when you do. Anybody do that? Well, I love the Lord. Well, Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. He don't like a grudgingly giver that puts conditions on his giving. It's not in your power to place conditions. Yahweh done place them on them, and you need to live up to it. Otherwise, you ain't going to have nothing but a bag with holes in it at the end of who you trust. Lay it up where thieves can break through. Oh, Ananias, he knows what to do with it. He gave it to Yahweh. He's mentioned in the Bible, singled out, set apart. We preached about him, and on the other hand, we preached about Sapphire and Ananias. They were singled out. They were set apart. Only in opposite ends of the spectrum here. We got Ananias in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. He's given tithes. He's given his alms. That means his offerings above and beyond tithes. He's building synagogues or churches or assemblies or what we call the thesites. You know, we need a lot of money here. We need people to help us. We make an appeal to you. We want to honor you as a set-apart one. Not because we want to raise you up because you're willing to give $50,000. I got a brother right now that's sitting next to me. I could reach out and touch. He'd give $50,000. I don't think no more of him than I would if you send me a letter and you say, Pastor Buddy, here's your dollar. It's all I've got. I would really, my heart would be smitten and more receptive to that man that gave a dollar as opposed to the brother that's sitting next to me, who could have given more? But he gave it till it hurt. He gave his share. He gave his part. And we didn't demand any more. We ask you if you're able to give a certain tithe to this project that we have. Now, we don't very seldom preach on money. Most of the time I've got subjects to teach on. But this is one of the subjects that in the apostolic fathers, they taught on it. And they demanded strict obedience to the vow. Peter said, why did you promise it, Ananias? Wasn't it yours till you promised it to Yahweh in a vow? He said, well, yeah, really. He said, we got carried away. Basically, that's what he said, paraphrasing. We really, we know it's on par. We added 3,000 yesterday and 5,000 today, and we know there's a great move here. We've seen people, just a shadow of you, Peter. Now, was Peter a set-apart person? He didn't say that John had the power to walk by people and people raise up. He didn't say that Paul had that power, although they did it. But it specified and set Peter apart and gave him that honor. And the Bible said they brought their tithes and offerings and laid them at the feet of the apostle. They didn't lay them at Sapphire and Ananias. You see what they would have done with it? You've got to discern who loves Yahweh to be set apart that has no interest or no love for money. Anybody that loves money, you don't need to be in charge of Yahweh's treasure bank like Judas. You know why Judas wanted you to give and participate? So he could fill it out the back door. You know why these bell preachers talk about giving all the time? Supporting these churches that's got steeples on. I wouldn't go in a church that's got a steeple in it other than to rebuke them and tell them the truth. You go in and worship with them, you are twice dead, plucked up by the roots, and you're not far from the end of the road. There's going to be a penalty for those that know better and continue on. There's a point where Yahweh said, you shall be cut off, and that without remedy. And if you don't think that Yahweh will visit you for doing so, if you fail to yield to Yahweh's part, he demands it. We had a brother that came from Puerto Rico. He was an Israelite born in California. He wasn't a Puerto Rican, but he lived with one. He came to our festival about 5 years ago. Matter of fact, it was probably 4 years ago. And he promised he had an estate worth $300,000+. And when he was so inspired when he came to our group and kept our little festival, he said, Pastor Buddy, he shook my hand and looked me right in his eyes. His eyes was clear and as blue and they sparkled. And I really knew he meant what he said. Pastor Buddy, I'm going home. I've been gone from the United States for over 35 years. He worked in real estate. He made a pretty good money. I'm going to give. I'm going to sell what I've got. I'm going to come back and give it to you. All I want is an Airstream trailer. And he wants you to use this money. You start hunting a place right now. I'm going to go home. I'm going to send you a check for $35,000 as a deposit, a retainer, on the piece of property. You choose it. I'll cash in my chips. And when I come, I'll put it in your hand and we'll buy the property. Now, that was a vow of one man. Went back home, and the left hand told the right hand what he was going to do. He put the fellow that lived with him found out that he was going to give away a fortune to the group here, Pastor Buddy and the group. And we believe that this certain person got so jealous because he had made what this man had done. He had made everything that he didn't have any relation. So he made what he had to this brother that lived with him. They were just friends. Close friends. Now the close friend found out that he was going to change his will, cash in his property, and give it to the group here in the state. Well, guess what happened to this man that pledged his money? 2 weeks later, he was dead. Mysterious circumstances. Investigation continuing. That he might have received, he had internal bleeding, started the night he called me and my wife about 12 o'clock here in the state. And he said, I'm in a hospital, I'm hemorrhaging, they want to give me blood transfusion, I want to refuse, and I need your prayers. We knew that the devil had took advantage of this poor brother, flipped out, who went back home and made the mistake of letting his right-hand man know what he was going to do. And within a week and a half of that commitment and that vow, just as soon as he got back to Puerto Rico from the mainland, he was dead within 2 weeks. Tragic. So let it be known that if you vow just like Sapphire and Ananias, they vowed a certain amount of their possession. The Bible said they sold a possession. They didn't say they sold all of them. They sold a possession. And it vowed it to Yahweh. And then they got to thinking, well, you know, we really got carried away when we said we was going to give it all. Let's just make sure that we put a little bit back in the 401k. And then we'll have a little bit to fall back on. If that little old group up there begins to go to pot, then we'll have a little money to live on. And we'll give it all to them. It's just a part. Well, that didn't go over too well. His wife, and who was Sapphire, she was privy to this, and they talked it over and agreed that they wouldn't give everything that they vowed. They'd only give a part of it. And they held back part of the price and lost their life. Peter, the set-apart one, the one that was receiving, and remember he said, now silver and gold have none. He wasn't out spending their money. You know what they did with this money? They built a community of believers. They had all things in common. Everything that was sold was given to Peter, the set-apart one, and the apostles, and they divided servantly as they had need. Nobody went hungry. We've had brothers and sisters in our group that when we ran out of food, brother and sister go back two or three times to get the food, and other brothers hadn't been one, other sister hadn't been one, and the food was ate up because the brethren didn't know the law of sharing and giving, and so they loved their belly more than they loved their brothers and sisters, and so the brothers and sisters didn't have anything to eat. That's happened several times in the group, and that's not the way it should be. What I'll divide, if I've got a piece of bread, then that first bite belongs to you, and maybe the last one. And somewhere in between, if I'm going to sustain myself, I'll get a bite in between. However, if it's in need, give it all. It's more blessed to give. Listen to this now. Here's my message. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. What do you have any greater to give than your service to the King? Therefore, if you want the greater blessing, set yourself aside as givers. If you want to be somebody that's not set aside and just the recipient, that's those who receive. It's the givers that are blessed, because more blessed it is to give than it is to receive. Now, which end do you want to be on? Concerning the tithes, give 10%. Concerning the offerings, add a tenth of that if you're late with it. Give above and beyond. Give to that hurts. Give something that will stand. Lay your treasures up in heaven. If you ain't got it, don't worry about it. We're not demanding you to give up $50,000. Some are blessed to give. The Bible said every man should be able according to the blessing that Yahweh has given to him. Not all have, like myself. I'm not able to give $50,000. But I give all I have. I give till it hurts. I'm going to give more. I'm going to give my time and energy. I'm going to work towards the development of the beach site and the community site. I would love to have a place for you to come and bring your little travel trailer or your little camping. Just put a little camp tent in your car. Got your little Coleman stove, 35 bucks. Get your little stove. You know, when we were in the service in the 50s, when I was in the service, we had canteens and we had the little mess kits that we carried. We had the steel pots. We could boil water in a steel pot and then put the steel pot back out when it cooled on and use it. See, there's a lot of innovations that you can use. And if you come and you camp out under the stars this tabernacle, then you look up at the heavens like you're supposed to do. You see where these stars are positioned and where that star is. You look at the heavens and how they're positioned, and you see the signs that are written in there. You can learn a lot from the dummy that's preaching this message here. I'm an old soldier. I've been in this a long time. I've flipped every page back and forth. I know what's written. I know what can be read. I know the carnal mind. I've been through all of this for years and years and years. I've heard every argument on the sacrament. I've heard every argument on the doctrine of the building. I've heard every argument that is conceivably known to man, and most of it, 99% of it, is in error. So why not come together with a collective group of people that's not afraid to ask questions? You're not reprimanded here for asking questions, because there's men here of knowledge and learning, and you're supposed to respect your elders. If you don't have no respect for them when they tell you to do something, and you argue with the elders, who are you to argue against an elder that's set apart and chosen for the job? Peter was an elder here. Ananias and Sapphira decided their 401k could use that money, so they put the rest of it in the bank. For the Bible said that their bag that earned wages, they was going to put it on interest, no doubt. It became full of holes. They lost their life over this, folks. This is how important giving is, and giving in the correct way. Don't give any more than Yahweh's blessed and prospered you. Yahweh don't want you to take bread out of your children's mouth. Matter of fact, He wants you to feed your children on 90% of your income. But He requires that He wants 10% of your wages, your earnings, to be brought to Him and His storehouse, along with a tenth of your tomatoes, your corn, your wine, your grapes, your apples. And if you're late on that, and for some reason you have to make a note payment, you can't think, then when you get ability, you always consider it. Bring Him an extra tenth. When you're going to pay that tithe that you're behind us, bring Him an extra tenth and go in there. Not grudgingly. Not sparingly. Now, I used to watch the old salesman. We had a no country store gentleman that there was about 30 or 40 of in the neighborhood, young boys and girls, and we would come to his store on a Sunday. And he, in the meat case, he kept those big, long sticks of bologna and canned luncheon meat and stuff like that. Anyway, he would slice the bologna and weigh it on the scale. They sold it by the pound. And he was so good that he would put his hand on the other side of the scale and thumb it, and he'd weigh his thumb on top of the pile of meat, and he'd charge you accordingly, and he'd make quite a bit of money over time. And everybody knew he was doing it, but he didn't prosper. When it come time for him to retire, about a year before he was due to sell the store and retire, he died of a massive heart attack. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you can't outgive Yahweh, but you better make sure that you give to Him. Because He will return it fourfold, press it down, and run it over to you. If you've got the same spirit, He's not grudgingly. He don't put His hand on the scales when He weighs out a blessing for you. And if you put your hand on the scales and hold back part, like Sapphira and Ananias did, you're holding back part of the thing. We need your help. If you're a new listener, we got brothers and sisters, we just got a few, and man, they give till it hurts. So, we need your help as a new person, that if you'd like to keep a festival the biblical way, if you don't like no tomfoolery, and if you want an answer for all your teaching. Now, our doctrine is very strange. We believe in water baptism in the name of Yahweh, but we believe that we've all willed before. We believe that we are not new to this earth. We believe that our name was on the Lamb's book, and He knew us before we were ever in our mother's womb. We teach those things. We believe in the heavens and the star set system. We believe in building ancient altars according to the plan as laid out in the Bible. We've got an answer. If you've got time to listen, we've got time to preach it to you. We dedicate our time to those who are hungry. We only teach the hungry sheep. I don't like to teach a hypocrite. I don't like to teach a person that comes and agrees with you and then goes out and daggers you back. I don't like that. I don't appreciate it. I don't want to be around a person like that. I detest a person like that. We've got far too many people like that in the world. Are you willing to weigh the price? Keep your thumb off the scale? What's your price value? They valued him at 30 pieces. What do you value your soul at? They only value him at 30. That's a cheap price. Heaven's going to be cheap at any price. If you have to give everything you've got, the gain is knowledge. Just like the brother made a point, he said that brother and sister only knew the wisdom and knowledge that was sitting before him. The questions that we could have answered if they posed them, and yet they were more interested in the bottom line of what we're going to give them as opposed to what we could teach them. That's their loss. That's nothing that we did. You said, well, why did you witness to them? The Bible said, have an answer ready for them that ask you. I don't impose my faith on nobody. I don't go around honking my horn and tooting it and big long prayers and big long robe and disfiguring my face. You'll never see Pastor Buddy doing that. I'll come to your home. You'll never know I'm in Yahweh's name if you don't ask me. But if you ask me, you'll know it. And if you think I'll compromise with you on any of your doctrine or your practices of your tradition, you've got another thing coming. I won't do that. Why? Because I'm a set apart one. I do put myself in a class of set aside. Set apart. If my wife would never bake me another biscuit in the name of Yahweh, I'd never eat any biscuit that she ever made out of the name. And that's the truth. And how is it that I believe that? All that you do in this life, make sure my dog is in the name of Yahweh, my cat's in the name of Yahweh, my car was prayed over in the name of Yahweh, my house is sanctified in the name of Yahweh, I'm the king there. My wife don't run the show and she don't wear no breeches. I make the final call, and then the price that I paid to set apart and set aside. A woman don't need to have to make the decisions in life. That's the man. But the decision a man makes is don't rob Yahweh. There is a consequence of not paying your tithes because women, oh, I don't think you ought to give that to Pastor, but I don't like him. I didn't get in a business to be liked. I got in a business to be hated, and I have fulfilled Yahweh's will. Blessed are you, where men shall separate themselves from you, and the storehouse that they have is empty, and your storehouse, because you don't like a person, is full. Let it be known, it may be full of holes before the end of this thing. We'll have to wait and see how Yahweh works this out. All things, say it with me tonight, all things, I love all of you, I'm preaching my heart out to you. All things work to the good of them that love and serve Yahweh. I've been so blessed today, I'm sharing you my heart. Because Yahweh is forever the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you love Him good enough to lay it on the line and be set apart? Do you love it good enough to know that it's only His time that's going to heaven? Are you man enough to stand against all this paganistic, heathenistic, Christian tomfoolery that people like to go and shout on these altars and tell how much they love Jesus? How much God is being to them, and they think that God and Jesus are two different persons. Sitting on the stool of how long will you be decided, that should be very easy to decide it. And let me tell you where it was decided and what they had to decide it on. The last call, the last fire, the last branch, the last barrel, the last circle contained 12 stones, and up on that Yahweh proved His man and brought Him out. Conquering death, hell, and the grave, when He Himself, the same man that was translated into heaven, came back in the spirit of John the Baptist to witness the second time. And the Bible says clearly, no man is ascended up into heaven save he which has come down. I got to close. I'm at Hallelujah Acres tonight. Call me. Area code 423-338-1972. You can write me, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. I'll see you Monday night around the world at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time with the Shepherd's Hall and Pastor Buddy. Yahweh bless you, and I love you.